I hope you all are having a wonderful and enriching time at Gansarovar Complex. It gives me immense pleasure to welcome you all to this afternoon session on consciousness, evidence from scientific and medical domain. We have with us B.K. Girish Bhai. So let us welcome with a big round of applause. To give a short introduction, B.K. Girish Bhai has been a student of spirituality and Raj Yoga meditation at Brahma Kumaris for 40 years. He has been involved in many spiritual service activities. He conceptualized, scripted and produced spiritual documentaries. To name a few, Eternal Truth, Who Am I? Eternal Truth, God, and A Meditation Experience. After watching these documentaries, it gives us a clear understanding of soul, God, meditation, and deeper aspects of spirituality. All these documentaries are easily available on YouTube. He has written a research paper on understanding consciousness, which is available for download. It will be published shortly. On professional front, Girish Bhai did his engineering in electronics and communication from Mysore University. He has worked in R&D department of various IT companies. He has several research patents during his stint at different companies. So now, I request Girish Bhai to give his views on today's topic. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Everyone, Om Shanti. So, today's topic, consciousness. How many of you, just a point, how many of you are interested in this topic called consciousness? And then you have been exploring many magazines, you know, YouTube, and then many videos on consciousness. It's a topic which is of interest to many. There has been always a question, why we behave the way we behave? Why we do the things the way we do? How we think? How we judge? You know, like how we generate our thoughts? What is consciousness? These are having lot of ramifications, and it is often the highly studied topic in the world. It is one of the most highly researched and explored topics. There are many books and then research papers written in medical journals as to the effect of spiritual topics like soul, in the role of soul in consciousness. So, you know, this consciousness is something which is of interest to people in all domains, be it who are in spiritual, philosophers, people who are scientists, doctors, surgeons, and so on. Like scientists, they are on continuous exploration as to how consciousness evolves in the brain. How the activities in the brain leads to conscious experience. So these are topics of interest for which the research or exploration is going on, and lot of money is being spent on this topic. And we are all sitting here, and then we all know that consciousness is our fundamental experience. What is consciousness? Anybody? What is consciousness? How can we define consciousness? Yes, awareness. Then, sorry, chintana, chetana. Yes, in Indian languages we can call it as chetana. One more word is prajna. Then, state of being aware of yourself, awareness. Then, of all five senses. Yes, okay. Mindfulness. Any other definition? Cognitive abilities, our ability to think, our ability to judge, all these things. So during the course of this presentation, we will arrive at the definition of consciousness. The exact definition of consciousness we will arrive at, rather than defining it in the very beginning. Okay? So, what is the seat of consciousness? Where will the consciousness emerge from? So brain, you know, like has got 86 billion neurons, and there are trillions of connections, and then you know the connections will keep happening between them, and the information from one neuronal cell transmits information to the next by way of jumping particles. There are some particles, atoms, molecules, electrons, protons, neutrons, etc., etc. So these small particles will keep jumping from one neuron to another, and then that is thought to be the origin of information transfer. And it is the belief of the neuroscientists that thoughts are purely an effect of firing neurons. The neurons are, the brain is made of billions of neurons, and then it is the thoughts that is produced, of which consciousness is the main element. The one of the main elements of consciousness is, are the thoughts. Thoughts are purely an effect of firing neurons. That is what is being thought of in the scientific world. And somehow consciousness is created by brain activity. This is another point. Somehow, how you don't ask, but somehow consciousness is created by brain activity, and mind is a product of brain. This is the understanding in the scientific world. If you are scientists, that is what they say. Now we will just go through these points. Before that, it is important to note that it is based on interpretations, observations. It is not yet proven. Thought has always been only a direct experience. And thought has not been measured so far. Just like electrometer or you know ammeter or voltmeter. There is nothing like a thought meter. And brain mapping has not established mind in the brain so far. So now we will come to the main point. How the consciousness is created? Who creates consciousness? How it is created? Now before that, we have got all these gadgets, materials, laptop, mobiles, glass, these items, etc. You all will agree that these are materials without any consciousness. Anybody who would like to say that these things are having consciousness? These are all the materials which are not having consciousness. Now, if I keep breaking these elements, either this or this or this, if I keep powdering them, what will I get in the end? What will I get? Sorry? Atom. Yes. To the point. Now, a simple empirical relation. If these things don't have consciousness, the basic materials, the basic particles which make up these things, like atoms, molecules, electrons, protons, neutrons, etc. Even they don't have consciousness. Agreed? Now we have to arrive at a definition of consciousness ourselves. We can't depend on somebody who will define a consciousness for us, which is our personal experience. And let's try to get that definition. So, since these are not having consciousness, all these materials don't have consciousness, the constituents of that, namely these atoms, molecules, electrons, protons, neutrons, positrons, etc., etc., even they don't have consciousness. Anybody want to disagree here? It's a simple empirical relation. And the meaning of that is, whatever these basic particles, there are 33 basic particles in this world, they say. 33 basic particles, you can Google. whatever these particles in turn make, it cannot have consciousness. This body is made of cells. And what are cells made of? Body is made of cells. And then what are cells made of? Again, atoms and molecules. So how can cells have the power to think, or power to, you know, respond, or power of consciousness? How the cells can have? Just think over. And similarly, let's come to the brain. The brain is full of neurons, glial cells. There are so many things. Billions and billions of them. So how can they generate consciousness? These are all non-living things. What is the definition of life? We will come later. So when these things cannot have, when these basic materials cannot have consciousness, when these basic particles like electrons, protons, neutrons, positrons, protons cannot have consciousness, how can the things that are made of these basic particles can have consciousness? Think over. So which means the neuronal activity in the brain cannot be the reason for the consciousness. Neuronal activities in the brain cannot be the reason for consciousness. So there has to be some other entity who has consciousness. So which we can prove by our observation in this scientific world. So that other entity is responsible for generating consciousness, creating consciousness, or conscious experience. Anybody who would like to disagree with this? Yes. No, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you now. So the brain, which is full of neuronal cells, which in turn are made of basic particles, physical particles, cannot generate consciousness, cannot create consciousness. So there has to be somebody or someone other than these basic particles in the body who is creating consciousness. Think over. And then who is that other person? So you all, that we will come, that you are having in your mind, we will come to it later. So there is a, like, you know, if you observe this chart, consciousness is not an aspect of insentient. All these things are insentient matter. Even bodily cells, neurons in the brain, they are all insentient matter. Jada, what we call it as in Indian languages, jada, which doesn't have life or consciousness. And these basic particles like electrons, protons, neutrons, these basic physical particles in turn manifest as earth, water, air, fire and ether. And physical energies, like one are basic particles, and then physical energies like heat and electricity. They can constitute either materials or cells and tissues in the plant kingdom, cells and tissues in the animal kingdom. When I say animal kingdom, everything, animals, insects, birds, etc. And then of human beings. So all these things cannot have consciousness. The consciousness is somebody, is generated by somebody who is other than this, whatever is being shown. Now, if we look at the brain, there is an absence of intelligence entity. There may be intelligence in the brain, but there is no intelligence, there is nothing called intelligence entity. Brain is often compared to the computer or a microprocessor, to be specific. And see, what happens in a microprocessor? There are set of inputs and then there are set of outputs programmed for a set of inputs. The inputs keep changing with time, and then for that, at particular time, for the set of inputs, there is an output generated. It is programmed. Can we expect a similar thing in the brain? So whatever we are having, inputs, you know, like whatever we see, hear, taste, you know, like touch, etc. There are five senses. Is there an intelligence entity in the brain which will decide, which will program what to do? Just think over. I am sitting like this. I am keeping quiet. For no reason, even when I am not thirsty, I will drink water. For the heck of it. For no reason, even when I am not hungry, I will eat something. For no reason, even when there is no logic, I will take a walk. And then I will make various movements of hands and legs. For no reason. How is it programmed? Is it materially programmed in the brain? Think over. So, there is no evidence that, like the way we have got cortex, cerebellum, medulla, amygdala, etc., etc., various regions in the brain, there is nothing like an intelligence entity. There is no evidence of the presence of any intelligence entity in the brain that integrates so many functions and organizes responses. And there is no possibility of such entity because it is impossible to know all the stimuli. What will happen to me, I don't know. After 1 hour, what will happen to me, I don't know. If there is a program in the brain which says that at 8 o'clock, I will sense this. At 8:30, I will sense that. At 9 o'clock, I will see this. Is it possible? I don't know what will happen in the next 5 minutes. I don't know where I will turn in the next 2-3 minutes. For no reason, I will see there. For no reason, there may be some activity going on at somewhere. All the things are impossible to predict and they cannot be predicted. And we only respond to those situations. So there cannot be a program in the brain which will respond to various inputs because inputs cannot be predicted. Now experimental results of a father of neurosurgery. This is a very interesting thing. I was initiated to this organization when I was young. And then I was asked to meditate. And then the way the meditation was taught to me, and then I started practicing that the soul is here. And then I have to focus myself here, etc., etc. Soul is in the region of the brain, etc. Now, if that is the case, I was always curious that somewhere in the world, some incident would have happened where these brain surgeons, neurosurgeons would have encountered what we call as soul. Today morning there was a topic of self-realization for all of you, where you learnt about soul. Now we will see whether the soul is a philosophy of fact or a philosophy of faith. When I say soul, how many of you believe that it's a fact? And how many of you believe that it's a faith? No, things like God, soul. Oh, do you believe in God? Do you believe in soul? Have faith in God? Have you have faith in soul? Is it a philosophy of faith? Or is it a philosophy of fact? Is the existence of soul a fact or a faith? And if there is a fact, and if it's a fact, people want evidence. Evidence, right? And evidence has to come from scientists. If I tell the evidence, nobody will believe it. But if the evidence is coming from a scientist or a doctor, and that's what, whether there is an evidence, we will find out. There is a book by a very, very renowned neurosurgeon by name Wilder Penfield. He has written this book, Mystery of the Mind, A Critical Study of Consciousness and the Human Brain. This scientist, neurosurgeon, was born in 1890s. He was born in 1890s. And he completed his studies and then he started conducting brain surgeries from 1930s. And by 1970, by around 1960s, he had conducted 700 epileptic surgeries. And he summarizes all his experiences in this book called The Mystery of the Mind. Very interesting book. He says, what happens is, he conducts various experiments on live patients. That is very interesting. It's not in laboratory, live on the operation theater, on the operation table. And the things are very interesting. How a brain surgery is conducted. They will give a local anesthesia to the skull and cut open the skull. The patient is fully conscious. He is aware. He is in awakened condition. And then they will they may remove some parts of the brain. They will do some surgery in the brain. And then they will ensure that the person is able to move his hands, legs, etc. And then they will put back the skull. And during some of these surgeries, during the basis of all these surgeries, he conducts some experiments. He gives current, he opens the skull and gives current to the region of the brain. And in one of the brain region, when he gives current, the hand moves like this, twitches. And the patient says, I didn't do that movement. The patient tells the doctor while the surgery is going on. So the patient is blindfolded. The patient is lying on the, and this fellow injects current in the brain, inside the brain after removing the skull. Hand moves, and then the patient says, I am not moving that hand. How the patient knows this? And the doctor gives current somewhere in the brain. The patient starts speaking. And the doctor asks him, are you making the sound? See the way the patient says, I didn't make that sound. I didn't make that sound. You pulled it out of me. The patient is telling the doctor, you are pulling it out of me. Who is telling this? Is the brain speaking? If the brain is generating consciousness, can the brain speak in this way? Think over. So, this is where the doctor was totally surprised. And he conducts a lot of other experiments. And then he writes in this book. He says, there is no valid evidence that electrical stimulation can activate the mind, what we call as mind. It is not possible to stimulate that mind in the brain by giving electrical currents, which should have been happening by way of neuronal activity if we go by what scientists claim. And none of the actions that we attribute to the mind has been initiated by electrode stimulation. See the wonderful way he has written. These are the words of the scientist written in that book. And he further says, there is no place in the cerebral cortex where electrical stimulation will cause a patient to believe or to decide. You can't change the belief of the patient. You can't change the thinking of the patient. You can't change the decision making of the patient by giving electrical impulses, which goes on to show and prove that brain is not the one who is doing all these things. The brain cannot generate this conscious experience. Then who is creating? Very interesting thing. And not just this, in the book he narrates so many incidences where he says that the only way we can explain the functioning of the brain is by considering two distinct elements with independent energies. One is brain, and then another is what we call it as mind. Brain is the executive of mind. One cannot work without the another. Mind makes use of the brain to generate thoughts. He goes on to explore how a child is born, and then in the child, this curiosity develops. How the brain develops in the child, and then how that curiosity to explore, all these things will take place in the child. And then how will these things like peace, happiness is experienced by the person. Everything he treats in his book. And then in the end he concludes that we can only explain all these things when we accept the fact that there is a mind which is totally different and then brain which is totally different. He goes on to explain, and then in the end he concludes, this is as told by the scientist, the father of the neurosurgery, Dr. Wilder Penfield, what a thrill it is then to discover that scientist too can legitimately believe in the existence of spirit. Think over. So, this is as told by one of the greatest fathers of the neurosurgery, who writes all these things in his book by way of so many experimentations on the live human beings. And why is it not taught in medical schools? Very interesting question. Somewhere, this book is not taught in medical schools. Why? So why it should not be taught in medical schools, which is the practical thing, which the neurosurgeon is telling? Yes. See, this is the point. Brain is the physical thing. Mind is not physical. And the science says that what is physical alone can be investigated. What is non-physical cannot be investigated. Should we watch for this? The important thing is the truth. It doesn't matter whether it is physical or non-physical. What is important is truth. The important thing, the doctor says, don't be under stress. Don't think like this. Don't think like that. Is he telling the brain or the soul? And if he is telling the brain cannot. The doctor is telling this. So he should be talking to the soul. And then why can't the soul be treated in the medical science? Why should it be left as a subject to be taught by only spiritualists, philosophers? And there are some very unexplained phenomena. There are many, many points like this, which only we can answer for ourselves. There are, you know, so many things, like I will just go through this fast. There are random number generators, you know, like some of these things you can find in Google. And then there are emoto crystal experiments, double blind experiments where a person who is thinking positively induces better growth in plants, and a person who is thinking negatively will make the plants wilt over time. And it is very well known that thinking and attitude of human beings accelerates healing of diseases if they are positive, and on the contrary, if the thinking and attitude is negative, it results in several medical conditions. You keep thinking negative and then that medical condition develops in the person, and then he unnecessarily becomes patient. It is not the case of everyone, but it is very much proved. And there are incidences like out-of-body experience, near-death experience, small or no brain people with small or no brain displaying excellent IQ, and people with past life memories. Out-of-body experience, there are books. One is by Raymond Moody, like, which is Life After Life. And another one is by Kenneth Ring, which says Lessons from Light. And there are many. In these particular books, they interview so many people and then record how a person goes out of the body and then beyond the body, even when the person is lying on the operation table in the operation theater, and observes everything and comes back into the body and then narrates everything, which cannot have happened if brain were to produce the conscious experience. Who was producing those conscious experiences? How was the person was able to see? He's closing his eyes, he's conscious, he's rendered unconscious, and then he is narrating incidences later. How did he know that? And how can you call these as, the moment you tell all these things, scientists have a typical answer, these are all hallucinations. How can these be hallucinations when they are explained point by point? Why can't you make an effort to explore them? Why to brand them as hallucinations? No, it is impossible. Why like that? Okay, this is the point. And then there are many interesting evidences, like, you know, written down in the in those books on out of body and near death experiences. You all can go through where the person is able to talk to some other souls also, talk to God also. Wonderful account. If you go through all these things, you will feel happy and surprised at the same time. How come these truths are hidden from us? And then there are many mysteries. What is consciousness and its source? What is thought and how does it arise? Coordination of activities in the brain. What is sleep and how anesthesia works? What happens in during anesthesia? During sleep, where are we? Where do we go and then how we come back? And where is memory stored in the brain? And there are so many things. And then sleep, pain and pleasure. What is pain? These are all the things that are that cannot be answered, and the answers are always a mystery. And there is one thing that happened in the last 300 years, and that is it's a very interesting experiment, and that is what we'll check now. There is a relation between quantum and consciousness. See, like somewhere in 1700, Newton proposed that light is a particle. He proposed that and everyone accepted it. There were no questions asked. In 1800, Thomas Young conducted what is known as double slit experiment and then proposed that light is not a particle. He disproved Newton and then he told light is not a particle and it's a wave. Light is a wave. And then he conducted what is called as double slit experiment. If the light were a particle, it would have created only two bands of light going through two slits. I will, you know, please go through Google after this and then you will get it clear, like, you know, these things will be clarified. Because of the short of time, I will go fast. But what was seen during the double slit experiment was a series of black and white bands were seen on the screen, which can happen only if light were to be a wave and not a particle. So this is the famous double slit experiment, which is taught in physics textbooks. And then it is still being taught that light is having a dual nature. It can behave as wave as well as particle. Now we know that light is made of photons, and then, you know, it can and then wave particles, etc. But the same thing is observed with all the quantum, that is all the physical particles like electrons, protons, neutrons, etc., etc. Now in 1900, they wanted to explore more. So they used some detectors to detect how the light is passing through this double slit. By the way, these double slits, they are very close by. They are microns apart. They are not as spaced as this. They are microns apart. And when they kept the detector to study the behavior of the light, this again gave particle pattern. When they keep the detector, when there is a means of monitoring how the light is behaving in this double slit experiment, the light behaves as a particle. And the moment you remove the detectors, the light is behaving as wave. The same thing happens with all the basic physical particles, be it electrons, protons, neutrons, atoms, molecules, positrons. So they all behave as waves when you don't observe them or when you don't monitor. The moment you try to monitor, they behave as particles. So then there were a lot of, you know, debates, And then scientists come to some conclusion, of course, which is not acceptable by many scientists for no reason. But many scientists became philosophers due to this experiment. They came to the conclusion that consciousness influences matter. Consciousness influences matter. This was the conclusion they arrived at. But one person was not prepared to accept this, and then that was Albert Einstein. But almost all the scientists during that era, they agree to this point. But they don't publish that, but they agree to this. These are all different flavors of experiment. The same experiment was conducted in the last decade. From January 2012 to 2014, a person by name Dean Radin, a scientist, he made a double-slit experimental setup in a closed chamber. He asked people, he identified several people, mainly Buddhist monks. Why Buddhist monks? Because they have the ability to think with a lot of concentration. So they are placed in different parts of the globe. What they have to do is, there is a laser light going through the double slit and then falling on a screen. They have to log using a computer. For the first 5 minutes, they have to think that they are not interested in this experiment. And for the next 5 minutes, they have to focus on this experiment in their mind, and they have to think in their mind that light is passing through the double slit. The results were startling. For the first 5 minutes, during which they said they thought they are not interested in the experiment. These are only mind games, you just see. The light behaved as wave. For the next 5 minutes, the light behaves as particles based on the energy levels. So, not only is the particle behaving to the consciousness of the person, it is the consciousness can be at any place. The person can be there in any place. It's all there in the YouTube. You can see that. So, all quanta, electrons, protons, etc., they behave as waves when not observed. When you observe, they collapse or behave as particles. The thing is, why should observation matter at all? So, we can infer that basic matter will be in some random state, oscillating unpredictable in space, unpredictable in space when not observed. Consciousness is responsible for activities, behavior, movements of all electrons, ions and molecules. Now at this point, we will think a little bit. Observation or attention brings predictability and basic particles get organized. And consciousness influences matter irrespective of distance. The effects are significant and long-lasting. Now, just what we inferred some time ago. This body is made of atoms and molecules. Right? This body is full of cells, neuronal cells, etc. The cells are in turn made of atoms, molecules, electrons, protons, neutrons, positrons, you name it, they are there. And all those things are influenced by consciousness. Now you can see the relation between soul and body. Soul and body. We will come to this more later. There is a book by scientist. There was a scientist, Erwin Schrodinger. He writes a book, What is Life? Mind and Matter. The physical aspect of living cell. You see, after the double slit experiment, many scientists, Western scientists, be it Niels Bohr, Erwin Schrodinger, many people, Max Planck, they all became philosophers and turned to India. They started studying Upanishads and Vedas, thinking that contains some answers to their enigma. And he writes, in this book he writes, my body functions as a pure mechanism according to the laws of nature. Yet I know by incontrovertible direct experience that I am directing its motions, of which I foresee the effects that may be fateful and all important, in which case I feel and take full responsibility for them. Now see the third paragraph. The only possible inference from these two facts is, I think that I in the widest meaning of the word, that is to say every conscious mind that has ever said or felt I. See the way he is using the word I am the person, if any, who controls the motion of atoms according to the laws of nature. Can you believe these things? Do you think that a scientist would have told these things? What typically we assume is, a scientist is not interested in philosophy, a scientist is not interested in matters like souls and God. But here is a scientist who is a Nobel Prize laureate, one of the pioneers of quantum experiment, telling like this. Believe me, there are many scientists who told like this. They write all these things in their journals, which are published elsewhere, but not as a physics textbooks. The point I'm trying to tell is, from the beginning, from the very nursery schools, there has been intentional gap introduced where we are only taught physical sciences, later medical sciences, etc., etc., but never about spirituality, even though many, many scientists subscribe to. Even Einstein was a great philosopher. And how do we comprehend consciousness? Can this mic or this computer, this mobile or any instrument comprehend consciousness? Is it possible? Do you think that it is possible to invent a machine, invent an instrument which will comprehend consciousness? It cannot. Why? We discussed in the very beginning, all these things cannot have consciousness. The constituents of all these things, that is the basic, these are all made of basic atoms and molecules, etc. They don't have, because of that, they also don't have consciousness. And the basic particles, whatever they make of, even the bodily cells and neurons, etc., they are all made by these basic particles. Even these things are atoms and molecules. So, they cannot generate conscious experience. So, the entity which can generate conscious experience is soul. So, when there is nothing in the world proved by science that says cannot cue conscious experience, then we have to turn to the truth, our own self, where we experience ourselves creating thoughts, we create thoughts, we make decisions, we create habits, and it is this I who comprehend consciousness, who create consciousness. Now, materialistic perspective of the brain cannot create our experiences. Somewhere we have to contemplate and embrace the possibility that immaterial, that which is not material, that is metaphysical entity with consciousness, that operates brain. Soul, which is an immaterial entity, operates brain. Exploring the immaterial and scientific entity is as scientific and logical as any other form of inquiry. Finding truth is more important. It's not whether it is physical object or a material object that we can see through a microscope or electron microscope. And metaphysical cannot always be understood from a physical viewpoint. We should take out this from our minds, that I want a proof where I will see God or soul through a instrument. It is impossible. That is the limitation of science. And consciousness can be understood only through consciousness, which is direct experience. And that's what we see in this Erwin Schrödinger's third paragraph, where he is lost as to whenever he says I, what is that I? Is that I this body? Is that I this brain? Is that I this living cell? Or whatever it is. And then he also comes to that. And then who was the observer? There is a point of light here. Sorry. sorry, not able to. You can see that point of light in this region, that is soul, and soul is the observer. We are all souls, we are the observers. And I the soul, I am telling, this is me, this is I the soul. So as we are going through this presentation, try to feel that I am some entity, a point of light, who is seated here, just inside in the brain. Physical geometry doesn't make any impact, but I am seated somewhere inside. Who is directing this body? And I create my thoughts here. I see, hear, breath, talk and do all the activities sitting inside. And existence of the soul is a reality. It's not a faith. It's not a philosophy of faith. It's a philosophy of fact. So which scientists also subscribe to. It is the common man who thinks that scientists don't believe in these things, and therefore he argues that no, these things are unscientific. I am a student of science. These things is not proved in the laboratory. But the fact is, it is proved already. And there are enough evidence. And here it is, the soul creates thoughts and makes decisions, which is intellect, perform karma through the body, and karma in turn forms impressions. This is what you would have discussed you would have heard or you would have listened to in the morning session about self-realization. And now we will come to the definition of consciousness. You go through the Google and then the definition of consciousness is not clear. So here is the definition of consciousness. Sorry? Consciousness is the ability of the soul to think, decide and form habits. It includes our feelings, experiences, emotions, outlooks, mindset and everything. So whatever is happening in the soul, the sum total of all that is happening in me, the soul, is consciousness. So what is consciousness? Whatever is happening in me, the soul, that is consciousness. It is like flower and the fragrance, rose. We can think the soul as a flower, and then fragrance is the consciousness. So everything is in the soul, the traits, perception, comprehension, leadership, intuition, concentration, sentience, memory, reasoning, planning, perseverance, impressions, peace, happiness, emotions, everything, whatever is mentioned here. Whatever we have been thinking that these are the aspects of brain are actually the aspects of soul. We keep talking about IQ, EQ, emotional quotient, intelligence quotient. These are not the aspects of brain. Brain may have a role in enhancing the intelligence, in manifestation of the intelligence, and then the brain's health may play a role there, but it is all an aspect of soul. And what are the correct sentences and then what are incorrect sentences? These correct sentences will give us the better understanding. I am a soul is the correct thing. It is not my soul. I myself am a soul. We should not be saying it is a soul, because soul is a sentient entity. He the soul, him the soul. And the soul and consciousness are not synonyms. Soul has consciousness. There is a small correction there. And then what is soul? Soul is energy. This is what is being told. But soul has energy. It's not a physical energy, but soul has spiritual energy. And then whenever I say I means the soul and not the body. So we have to understand soul as soul. What is soul? Soul is a soul. What is soul? Soul is a soul. So we have to understand soul as soul in the way we understand the soul as a body as the body. And there is a physical realm and then spiritual realm, and then the spiritual contains this one and then physical realm contains these things. So we will conclude the presentation here. There are many aspects of consciousness for which lot of time is required. We will discuss at some other time. So the soul is creating a field of consciousness in which this body is operating, the brain is there, and there are many things we can understand. So the human body is an amazing machine with wonderful organs and unparalleled complexity. Of them all, the brain is perhaps the most mysterious. Its uniqueness is the favorable for the soul to interface. The body is made in such a way that the soul can operate at will. And a synonym for soul is life. What is life? Soul. Soul keeps cells functioning. Soul's consciousness influences cells functioning. And we see the soul's influence on this cellular activities. When soul lives, everything disintegrates. So there are so many things which we will discuss later. So the soul is the one who is doing everything from the body. This is the meditation where soul is connected to God. When we understand ourselves as soul, it becomes easier for us to connect to God. We have to overcome this feeling of the body. Our consciousness should be beyond this body for us to connect to God. And there are many benefits of this. So I will conclude the presentation here. You will be opening up to one more presentation, which is much more important. And then this is what is the email ID, and you can download a book on consciousness from this one. We can always discuss over this email. I will be happy to discuss with you. Okay? Om Shanti.